Hello, my name is Stacey Nechama Goldman. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. With this chapter, we have finally arrived at the stated purpose of Divrei Hayamim, to glorify and praise the kingship of David. We will find parallels to the events and names recounted here to both Shmuel Bet, chapters 5, which are contained in verses 1 through 9, and then we will jump to the same events and names that take place in Shmuel Bet, chapter 23. Malvi mentions that Ezra skips over the entire reign of Ishbosheth, Shaul's surviving son, who failed in his attempt to rule over all of Israel and met an untimely death when he was murdered. Malbim explains that this story does not appear in Divrei Hayamim because that episode does not contribute to the glory of David HaMelech. We begin with David's official anointing as king of Israel. While he had already been anointed by Shmuel the prophet in Shmuel Aleph chapter 16, and again by his own tribe of Yehuda, this is a public acceptance by all of Israel as king. Veikabtzu kol Yisrael el David chevrona lemor, hinei atzmecha ubisarcha anachnu. And all Israel gathered to David to Chevron, saying, behold, we are your bone and your flesh. Mitzudat David explains that they all now consider themselves the bone and flesh of David. They are one united nation, just as Yehuda has been one united tribe. The elders then come and make a covenant with David in verse 3. Vayavo kol ziknei Yisrael el hamelech chavrona, vayichrot lehem David brit b'chavron lifnei Hashem, vayimshechu et David lamelech al Yisrael kidvar Hashem v'yad Shmuel. And all the elders of Israel came to the king to Chevron, and David made with them a covenant in Chevron before the Lord, and they anointed David as king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord, by the hand of Shmuel. The Radak in Sefer Shmuel, Bet, points out that our verse in Divrei Hayamim includes the phrase, Biyad Shmuel, by the hand of Shmuel. Even though Shmuel died many years prior to this event, his prophecy of David becoming the king over all of Israel is only fulfilled now. Immediately after all of Israel accepts David as the king, David leads them to conquer Yerushalayim from the Yebusites. Vayelech David, v'chol Yisrael Yerushalayim, hi Yevus, v'sham ha-Yevusi, yoshvei ha-aretz. And David and all of Israel went to Yerushalayim, that is Yevus, and there were the Yevusites, the inhabitants of the land. The Radak notes that in Sefer Shmuel Bet, it describes David and his men going to Yerushalayim, whereas here it is all of Israel accompanying him. He explains that this attests to the unity of all of Israel under his leadership. They are all his men. The Malbim explains that this unity is what allowed David to immediately conquer Yerushalayim, since it was divided between both Yehuda, the tribe of David, and Binyamin, the tribe of Shaul. David reasoned that conquering Yerushalayim and placing it as the seat of his kingship would be the ultimate show of unity among the tribes. The inhabitants of Yevus led an unsuccessful campaign to defend their city. Israel handily defeated them with Yoav, David's nephew, emerging as the star warrior and promoted from general to chief. Malbim explains that he was the head of the army, but he now becomes the head of the city as well, as we see in verse 8. Ve'yiven ha'ir misaviv min hamilo ve'ad ha'saviv, ve'yoav yichaye et sha'ar ha'ir. And he built the city from around, from the Milo until the surrounding area, and Yoav restored the rest of the city. Yerushalayim became known as Ir David, the city of David, and David, with Hashem's help, continued to become greater and greater. Shmuel Bet chapter 5 contains a much more detailed account of this war. Malbim explains that Ezra did not feel it necessary to inform us of events we would already know from Sefer Shmuel. Moving to verse 10, which lists David's mighty men, we find that we skip several events which are narrated in Sefer Shmuel. We are essentially skipping 18 chapters of that book when we begin this list. Included in those events are the rebellions of Shimi ben Bichra from the family of Shaul, and also Avshalom, David's flesh and blood, his current firstborn son, after Absalom killed his older half-brother Amnon for raping his full sister Tamar, another story ignored by Divrei Hayamim. It should be clear why we skip all of these stories. As we have stated before, the purpose of Divrei Hayamim is to place David in the best light possible. This list of names and the short narratives accompanying some of them appears in an almost identical fashion in Shmuel Bet chapter 23. There are many midrashim which explain some of the discrepancies between the two books. The most striking difference is that Shmuel Bet ends with Uriah the Hittite, most famous for being the first husband of Bathsheba, whom David had killed in order to marry her, while our chapter continues with several more names on the list. Malbim quotes Abarbanel, who notes the different language used to introduce the lists in each book. In our chapter it says, Ve'ela Rashe Hagiborim Asher LeDavid Hamit Chazkim Imo B'Machuto Im Kol Yisrael LaHamlicho Kidvar Hashem Al Yisrael. And these are the chiefs of David's mighty men, who held strongly with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to crown him according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Shmuel Bet does not mention in his kingdom, whereas our verse could be including all the men who helped David to consolidate his kingdom in the beginning of his reign. There, in Shmuel Bet, it is only speaking of those men who were with him in all his wars throughout his kingship, which constituted a shorter list. Perhaps Ezra added several names after Uriah HaHiti so as to take away attention from the man that David acted so dishonorably with and caused himself so much tragedy in his life. Within this list is a short battle story describing a period of time when the Philistines had control over Beit Lechem, David's hometown. David expresses a desire for water from the cistern of Beit Lechem. In verse 17, Vayitav David vayomar, mi yashkeni mayim mibor Beit Lechem asher b'sha'ar. And David experienced a craving and said, if only someone would give me to drink water from the cistern of Beit Lechem, which is by the gate. Radak explains on the parallel verse in Shmuel Bet that David was not commanding anyone to retrieve water for him from that cistern. Rather, he was just expressing a desire for cold, good water, because it was during the time of the harvest, which is known to be very hot and dry. Malbim notes that people are most used to flavors they grew up with, so he was specifically craving this water from his hometown. The story continues with how the warriors risked their lives to retrieve the water for David from that cistern. Verse 18, Vayivka'u hashlosha b'machane plishtim, Vayishavu mayim mibor Beit Lechem asher b'sha'ar, Vayis'u vayivi'u el David v'lo ava David lishtotam, Vayinasechotam l'ashem. And the three broke through the Philistine camp, drew water from the cistern of Beit Lechem, which is by the gate, carried and brought it to David, but he was unwilling to drink it, and he poured it out as a libation to the Lord. Why did David pour it out after they had risked their lives to retrieve it? Radak explains that he regretted having expressed out loud his desire in causing his men to risk their lives. He thought drinking it would be akin to drinking their blood. Rashi takes a completely different approach and says David's craving for water was really a metaphor for Torah. On verse 17, he explains, our rabbi said it was necessary for him to get a legal question of the Sanhedrin who were seated at the gate of Beit Lechem. He explains the next verse as a chastisement of the men who risked their lives for entering the Philistine stronghold to retrieve the halachic answer. When it says he poured it out before the Lord, Rashi explains, he said, this tradition I had handed down to me from the court of Shmuel the Ramatite. Whosoever endangers his life for the sake of the word of the Torah, one is to heed the halacha but not at the cost of life. We are not to state the decision for which he had endangered his life in his name. Now how do we explain, and he poured it out before the Lord? That we state it not in his own name, but anonymously in the name of the entire academy. In this manner, pouring it out without due credit to the one who stated it, but simply for the sake of the Lord. Benayahu ben Yehoyada is one of the heroes mentioned in this list of names for whom many details are given in verses 22 through 24. Benaya ben Yehoyada ben Ish Chayel, Rav Pe'alim, Min Kav Tzael, Hu Hika et Shnei Ariel Moav, Vehu Yarad, Vihika et Ha'ari, B'toch Habor, B'yom Hashalag. Benaya, the son of Yehoyada, a valiant man who accomplished many feats from Kav Zeel, he smote the two mighty men of Moab, and he descended and smote the lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. Vehu hika et ha'ish ha-mitzri ish mida chamesh ba'ama, uviyad ha-mitzri chanit kiminor orgim, vayered elav bashavet, vayigzol et ha-chanit miyad ha-mitzri, vayahargehu bechanito. And he smote an Egyptian man of great stature of 5 cubits, and in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a rod, and he robbed the Egyptian of the spear and slew him with his spear. And finally, verse 24, Ela asa Benayahu ben Yehoyada, velo shem b'shlosha ha-giburim. Benaya, the son of Yehoyada, performed these feats, and he had a name among the 3 mighty men. The Gemara in Brachot 18b expands on the description of him from Shmuel Bet, which uses almost the exact same words as our chapter. He was referred to as the son of a living man. The Gemara wonders, is that to say, the fact that the Bible referred to him with that appellation, that all others are children of the dead? Rather, the son of a living man who lives forever, who even in death is referred to as living. Man of Kavtzael, who had done mighty deeds as he accumulated and gathered, kavetz, many workers for the sake of the Torah. Who killed the 2 lion-hearted men, Ariel, of Moab, as after his death he left no one his equal in either the first temple or the second temple periods, as the temple is called Ariel in Isaiah 29:1, and the 2 Ariel refers to the 2 temples. At the end of David's life, at the beginning of the book of Kings, David appointed Benayahu to take care of all those who had wronged him during his kingship. After David's death, he became Shlomo's chief general. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Zvi Yosef.